My beloved people, first of all, this morning, I bring to your attention that Friday of this week is Candlemas Day and is the feast day of the purification of the Blessed Mother. And it is also First Friday. So we will have Mass here in the church at 6 and 8. The candles, however, will be blessed at the 6 o'clock Mass. Saturday is First Saturday and is also the Feast of St. Blaise, which means that we will have then the blessing of throats both on Saturday and on Sunday. We can give nothing to God but what we take from ourselves. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, I should have said this a moment ago, but I didn't. I forgot, so I will say it now. I ask you to please read today's bulletin carefully. The instruction in today's bulletin carefully. Not just once, read it at least twice carefully. And then read it another time carefully out loud. Because the instruction in today's bulletin is a little difficult, and unless you give it the appropriate amount of time, it will just be something that you have read and that you put it on the shelf of your forgetfulness immediately. I don't want you to forget what's in today's bulletin. I don't want you to forget what's in any bulletin. Because it is those are instructions which should be a source of edification, a source of learning to us all. The thing that we have to keep in mind is that in these our days, the average individual, the average Catholic, individual has in truth forgotten Catholicism. In truth has forgotten what one must be like to be a Catholic. And we've taken upon ourselves, either from the right or from the left, the right says that we have to keep our religion in a very constricted, tight, fisted way of life, you know, tight, 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 tight. Regimented, regimentation, regimentation. On the other side of us, we say the religion must seek out the personality. It must help the personality, therefore freedom, freedom, freedom. So you have ultra freedom on one side and ultra regimentation on the other side. And where on earth does that put us? For the past several weeks, we have been discussing the House of Nazareth. Let us not for a moment think that this discussion concerning the House of Nazareth is just another chapter in the book, and we just have to put up with it till we get through with it and go on to the next chapter, which will be the Lord alone knows what. The house of Nazareth, as far as we're concerned, is not going to go away. It might be occasionally put aside in its emphasis for a short period of time, but the house of Nazareth, not that we are better than anybody. Let us not think that for a second. But the house of Nazareth has to fit inside the walls of this house. May I repeat? The house of Nazareth has to fit inside the walls of this house right here that you're sitting in right now. And what goes on in the house of Nazareth, what actually went on in the house of Nazareth, was not what the people on the right side say, very regimented, very strict, very this, very that, learn this, don't do this, sit this way, don't sit that way, look this way, don't do that way, etc. It's a whole series of do's and a whole series of don'ts. I dare say that those two words were never, ever necessary to have been spoken in that particular house, I dare say. I cannot imagine our Blessed Mother saying to our Blessed Lord, don't do that. I can't imagine Saint Joseph saying to Mary, don't forget your place in this family. And I cannot imagine the Blessed Mother yelling back at Saint Joseph, telling him to mind his own business. Can you imagine that? That's from the right side. And also in the house of Nazareth, we do not find a criticism that screams out and says, this is the way you have got to do it, neighbors, friends, and relatives and whoever. This is the way it has to be because this is the way we think it has to be. This is the way God came down once upon a time and told us it had to be this way. That's on the right side. On the left side, can you imagine that in the house of Nazareth it was ever said, go out. If you like it, do it. Can you imagine that kind of a vocabulary in that house coming from either side? Can you imagine that? It would be easier to shove a square peg in a round hole than to imagine that this is the way it was taught in that house. In that house, we had, without doubt, the three most exalted individuals that have ever walked on the face of this earth. And if anybody ever, even Adam and Eve, if anybody ever walked in the presence of the Father who is in heaven, it has to be these three individuals. And look how they lived. Their life was easy. Their life was beautiful. Their life was magnificent. Their life was love. And their life was free. And from the moment they got up in the morning until the moment they went to bed at night, their day, their entire day, was prayer. It was not a series of prayers, things to do, obligations to fulfill, time to spend on my knees, time to stand on my head, whatever, you know, is required for those who want to do and are constantly at it. I've got to go out and do this. I've got to go do that. I've got to go convert. I've got to go and meet here. I've got to go all kinds of things. Frenzy. The minute we get up on Monday morning, our life becomes a series of frenzies. Then, until the time to go to bed at night, now with the telephone, you've ever noticed, not only now, it doesn't stop with the time that we shut the switch off of the telephone, when we consider it time for us to go to bed at night, but now the telephone even has become an instrument of continual frenzy, because our machine is working while we're in bed asleep, and the messages begin to come in. 1, 2, 3, 6, 8, 10, 12. Which the next day when we get up, we're already behind because it hasn't finished off the day before's problem or problems. And our life continues in its frenzy. Our life must be a continual prayer. We do not understand this, how our life can be a continual prayer. And we must work to do so. Lent is on the way. When Christmas comes, can Lent be far behind? In 2 weeks from today will be Septuagesima Sunday. I will not be here next week, so you'll have to hear it all today. What are we going to do for Lent? I know we are not going to eat chocolates. We are going to cut down on our beer. We are not going to get drunk. We are whatever. it goes on and on and on and on and on. Can I ask you, what does not eating chocolates during Lent got to do with the salvation of our immortal souls? What is not getting drunk during Lent got to do with the salvation of our immortal souls? What is not taking the Lord's name in vain during Lent got to do with the salvation of our immortal souls? My beloved people, it is time that we woke up from our sleep. It is time that we looked at reality and forget unreality. You know, we are completely baffled by the beauty of the unreality of the world. And we do not, it's like the scenery on a stage. On one side, it is all beautiful, lovely, magnificent, well set, well arranged, well painted, well furnished, everything on that side. And that's the side that we want to be looking at all the time. We do not like to be reminded when we're told, please, you people that are looking at the set from the one side, take three steps. That's all you got to take is three. One, two, three. Put one foot in front of the other and step behind all of that beauty. And what do you see, my beloved people? We must pray. During Lent is not a matter of what I'm going to give up. It's not a matter of me not cursing or swearing. It is only a matter of what is going to happen to me during Lent. What am I going to cure in me? The bulletin today says, we can give nothing to God except but what we take from ourselves. What are, not getting drunk, not eating chocolates, not swearing, not cursing, and all of that is not really taking a blessed thing from me. What about my pride? What about my self-will? What about my anger? What about my self-opinionatedness? That's when we start taking from ourselves. Are we able to give God our anger during Lent? Are we able to give God our self-opinion during Lent? And so on. This is where Lent is. And it hurts. For me to devastate my pride. After all, my beloved people, don't you ever forget that I, myself, alone, am the most educated, the most brilliant, the most wonderful, the most exalted thinker that has ever walked the face of the earth. I do not want you to forget that. Of course, I'm humble about it, but nevertheless, my dear people, please remember how perfect I am. You know the song, "It's so hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." It's a silly song, but it certainly drives home a valid point, doesn't it? These are the things so that when Lent is over, I don't go back to my chocolates. I don't go back to my whiskey. I know those people that are waiting for the stroke of whatever time the clock strikes and they've got a glass in their hands and they can't wait till it tick-tocks to that moment and in it starts. And a box of chocolates over here waiting. What have we given? We haven't given anything. We've just simply put off something so that we can satisfy our own ego that we really and truly have done something for God, that we've done something Catholic. That ain't so. My beloved people, has Lent made me not a better man with a better personality? Which today, the development of the personality, my beloved people, look out. That's beautiful language. The development of the personality is beautiful language. There was beautiful language when Satan invited Adam and Eve to come and taste the wonderful, delicate, fragrant taste of the apple. There was beautiful language involved there. If Lent does not put me at least one inch closer to sanctity, let's forget the whole thing. Let's not put up the charade around those who are about those who are around us, or even to ourselves, that I can tell myself, look what I'm doing. And in the process of looking at myself at what I am doing, I am not drinking during Lent. I am not eating chocolates during Lent. I am doing this and that and the other. I'm looking at my brother, He's still drinking. Look at my neighbor across the street. They're eating just as many chocolates as they've ever eaten. And therefore, as I reason this out ever so carefully, there can only be one conclusion that I come to, and that is, it's only obvious, I'm holier than my brother, and I am holier than the people across the street. I don't eat chocolates. And so we reason, our logic is good. 1, 2 points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But wherein consists holiness? The instant I'm doing something that causes me to place a judgment on anybody, I don't care who it is, then whatever it is that I am doing is so tarnished that it is completely worthless. Our life, I said a while ago, must be a continual prayer. And the prayer, our prayer, why are we praying? Why did Jesus, Mary, and Joseph act the way they did in Nazareth? Why? Because of love. And because they loved, they were praying. Remember, I think it was a couple of Sundays ago, we had the beautiful picture. I found it. We found it. I didn't find it. One of the fathers found it. They're always finding nice little things for me to use here and use there. They've got more eyes than I have. Thank goodness for that. Remember the picture of our blessed Lord and Saint Joseph? St. Joseph was at one end of the cross-cut saw, and our blessed Lord, poor little boy, was at the other end of the cross-cut saw. And apparently, if you look at the picture carefully, he wasn't doing the best job that St. Joseph expected him to do. But he was there to learn. And the blessed mother was standing and watching. And the whole scene was a scene of peace, of adoring, of prayer, of love. It isn't that Saint Joseph and our Lord and the Blessed Mother were lax. Today, if you are not strict, in many cases today, I'm sorry to say, in the so-called Catholicism that we call traditional Catholicism, rather I should say traditionalist Catholicism, if you're not in a straitjacket, you are not doing it right. And that's wrong. God wants to know how much we love him. You know, as long as we keep the dog tied to the leash, never letting him go free, as long as we do that, we will never know if the dog really belongs to me. What did our blessed Lord do to Adam and Eve from the very first moment? Yes, he gave them all that Adam and Eve had, didn't he? And then he turned them loose and gave them what? Gave them free will, which we have. And you want to know? They ran away, didn't they? And they went on the path that led them away from love. Today we call it the labyrinth. You know, lost in the labyrinth. And today it's absolutely disgusting when you see some of our ecclesiastical leaders take our children in procession through the intricate paths of the labyrinth. I don't know where they plan to go, and I don't know what they plan to see when they get there. But if they think they're going to find God there, why did not the mighty words of Jesus Christ tell them where God was? And if his mighty words were not able to explain the matter to them walking in the labyrinth today, is not going to do it either. Because my own ego is in the way. It was said, and this is true, that God exercises more power, that God exercises more energy in converting one single solitary soul . I'm saying this slowly because I want you to absorb it, because I know somebody is going to misrepresent it. That God exercised more power and more energy, or exercises more power and more energy in the conversion of the soul of just one than he exercised in the creation of the entire world. Why? Because in the creation of the world, he met with no resistance. When God hits the wall of my resistance, that's where God stops. Can we understand that? And we want to be saints? What kind of foolishness are we talking about? I want to be a saint, but it's got to be done my way. We have much to say about the Protestants because they exercise private interpretation Let's keep our mouths closed on that subject. Let us not throw stones in glass houses. There is more private interpretation in this call, the church called Catholic today, than there is in Protestantism. And may I take it a step further before I have to quit, because the clock is going to explode in about 2 minutes. There is more private interpretation in the entire traditionalist Catholic world today. Than Protestantism ever knew about. You think that went over? And you better believe it. My beloved people, I don't care if the clock does explode. The clock is right here, in case anybody wants to know. And it's telling me that it's over and telling me to shut up. It's got a bomb in it. It will explode at a certain time, but today I don't really care. And that caused me to forget what I was going to say. I can't think of it. So therefore, the clock says it is time to be quiet. My beloved people, we have to laugh at the same time that we have to be serious. Our one purpose, and our one purpose only, is to give honor and glory to God. That's all. Nothing else matters. Nothing, 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 nothing else matters in our achievements. Are not worth the time of day if we want to be saints. Lent for us has to be something that will bring us a little bit closer to sanctity. Otherwise, let's not try. God bless you. We the monks. See, the sermons that I preach here to you are just as much directed to the monks. As a matter of fact, maybe in some cases, it's because I'm thinking of this monk or that monk when I'm talking. No. Our monks, my beloved people, might look like they're not doing anything. People in town are constantly asking us, what do y'all do out there all day? And my answer to them is always the same. Nothing. Our monks are not doing anything spectacular. They're not on their knees. They're not using the discipline, which is the whip, you know, that you whip yourself with. They're not fasting themselves to death. But they are doing something which is more powerful than the power of all the armies that have ever marched the face of this earth. They are taking from themselves and they're giving it to God. God bless you. God bless you. God keep you. Read the bulletin. Absolutely read the bulletin. Read it every week. I know what I was going to say, but I've got to put this in. If you could read the letters that we receive, if you could hear the telephone conversations that we have to listen to, I'm sure that each one of you would say, well, why doesn't he get up there and tell us about it a little bit stronger? He's not using strong enough language. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we are having a big time carrying the basket there. And not anyone who says to me, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's all. I'm quitting.